And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Glad to be with you today. What a wonderful day it is. It's nice and cool here in Texas. We're expecting a mild winter, but then we expect a mild winter every year. So if you're one of those guys that, you're going to shiver in all the snow and the ice, I want to invite you to come down to Texas and live. Pretty nice down here. A lot of snowbirds come here during the winter. It's just quite lovely. But then everybody loves this state. Some people tell me that, you know, they like all the seasons. They want to see the snow, especially at Christmas and New Year's and so forth. They like snow. They like the cold. I had a good friend of mine, major in the Air Force. We were both in the Air Force together, and he retired and went up to Maine, the state of Maine, to live. Got him a job there, big fat cat job with some high-tech company. He was quite a brilliant guy, a major, as I said, in the Air Force. And served with him 2 or 3 years, best friends. And about 2 years later, Jerry came packing back. He came back to Austin, Texas. I said, well, Jerry, you had that fat cat job. You're making twice as much as you did as an officer in the Air Force. Everything was going your way. Why did you leave? He said, I love the work. I love the job. He said, I like the people up there in Maine. But, man, he said, I'll tell you, Tex, the first time I tried to open my door and I went outside, he wasn't, let me just say right away, Jerry McCoy was not a real tall guy. You know, he was, I don't know, about 5'9" or something. He says, but I'll tell you, when the snow gets higher than me, and I have to get out that old snow shovel to work hours, just trying to clear it away from my driveway and everything, that was too much for me. I like that, you know. 5'9" guys say, when the snow gets up over my head, that's too much. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's worth being in a place like that. See all that lovely snow and whiteness and so forth. But everybody likes where they're at, and they get a little sentimental, and they miss their old hometown, don't they? I'm a native-born Texan, small town America. You know, come from a town that had about 8,000 people, Port Neches, Texas. I used to walk from where we lived, our little house, and go down to the river and see the big old ships go up and down the Neches River, headed to the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, I'd take a stone, I'd try to throw at them, you know, just to see if I could when I was a kid. And I never could, never hit one. And the guys, they all knew you couldn't reach them with a stone. The sailors, you know, they're from all over the world. And they'd see this little boy out there, you know, trying to throw rocks at them. You know, I didn't mean to hit them. I wanted to hit the side of the ship. I knew it wouldn't do any damage. I just wanted to see if I could reach it. You know, how little boys try to exercise their arms, think that they're really strong, you know. Then I could go back and brag to my friends, I actually hit one of those ships going by. And the sailors would all look at me and laugh at me. You know, they just laugh, wave their hands. They just thought it was funny, you know, for a little kid to do that. But anyway, that was my hometown, I still long sometime for it. But anyway, I'm glad to be in Austin, Texas, the capital of the Republic of Texas. And I do believe we should be a republic again. Maybe there should be a Republic of Maine, of Illinois, of California, of Louisiana, of New Mexico, of Ohio. Maybe we ought to secede from the Union. What do you think? I don't think we'll ever see our Constitution again in the United States of America. So maybe we can have something like our Constitution and be a citizen of the Republic of Alabama or Mississippi or Virginia. I could go on. There's 50 states, you know. I won't belabor you on that. But some things are going on in this country that are incredible. A lot of people are fed up with the government. They're angry. The Tea Parties are moving. Probably going to get a lot of people elected by the Tea Party support that they get in the next election. But once they're in office, you know, Richard Nixon, President Nixon, once said, that politics really doesn't start until the day after the election. That's when politics starts, the day after the election. That's when all the lobbyists and the big Wall Street cartel people come to see you and the Zionist lobbying groups and tell you the way they want you to vote. And if you don't do it, they will threaten, claim to destroy you. Now, that's when sparks begin to fly. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I want to talk today about a special subject. Some things that have come to my attention that I think will absolutely stun you, my good friends out there in Radio Land. Oh, they will. These things will stun you. Some things I have to say, they're going to sound so unbelievable. You're going to say that text, Mars, he's said a lot of things over the years and they've pretty well panned out to be true. Shocking things Tex Mars has predicted and such. And virtually, you know, they always happen, but now this is just too much. He's gone over the top now. He's done it. I've lost faith in him. He has no credibility with me anymore. That's probably what even some of my best friends will say. Well, hang in there. You know, remember that old song, Hang On, Snoopy, Hang On? I remember some song like that back in the 60s. Well, hang on, friends. Obama tells the Jews, the ones that put him in office, the one that made him president of the United States, the ones that, according to millionaire attorney Abner Mikva, a big deal maker and politico in Chicago, former federal judge and congressman, Abner Mikva told the Chicago Tribune that Barack Obama would be America's first Jewish president. And the Rothschilds on down, George Soros, the Hungarian Jew, all of them made Obama what he is today in terms of being president of the United States. But has Obama told the Jews finally no more? No more. Truman did. Eisenhower did. Nixon did. Kennedy certainly did. Now has Obama joined that august crowd and told the Jews no more, and what will be the consequences? Could be horrible. Could be bad for him, even for our country. Has the president finally stood up to the world's tormentors, the Zionist Jews, in his own administration? And will all hell now break loose because of it? Will Obama have to give his life for his country? That sounds very extreme, doesn't it, for me to ask that question. If he really has divorced himself from the Jews, the Zionists that run his administration, if he's told them go to, you know where, blazes, I'll just substitute a nicer word there, to that fiery place that God built for the dark angels, but others will be there too. It's always being enlarged. Habakkuk in the Bible says hell is always being enlarged. Never any problem with construction crews getting work in hell. More and more people are going there. And I don't know, I don't think they're going to be living in fancy condos or big mansions, but prison cells certainly are in high demand down in hell, and more people are going there. And I have some evidence for you today that Obama's finished with the Jews. But now, it's like anything else, until they start squeezing you, until they break an arm or two, until they threaten your family, and then you might back up. He might back up. But let's just talk about where it is right now today. We're moving into October. This is the first day I'm giving this talk, around the first week of October. What's going on right now? Now, when I say that Obama could lose his life if what I understand to be true is so, and if the Jews can't get him to change, and after all, he is a big believer in change, and yes, we can, but now he's saying, no, I can't, to the Jews. Could be a problem. You know, during the election campaign, I wrote an article entitled, Who Killed Barack Obama? Who Killed Obama? Well, some people say, well, what do you mean kill him? He's right there. He's on TV every day campaigning for president. Oh, well, yes. But in New York City and some other cities in America, they were wearing T-shirts. Had a picture of Obama on the T-shirts with the words, who killed Obama? Wow. What was that all about? Well, if you remember that newsletter, it was a Jewish man who was a well-known clothing designer in New York City. You know, one of those kind of guys. Probably limp-wristed. I don't know. Most of them are, if you know what I'm talking about. In any case, the man, a Jew named Brownstein, if I can recall correctly, put out this T-shirt. And it was selling like hotcakes. They said the Jews especially liked it. Who killed Obama? Now, in the election, according to statistics, some 80% of all the Jews in America, some say 82%, some say 78%. I've seen different figures. But around 80% of the Jews in America who are voters voted for Obama. So he was an overwhelming choice for Jews. And the reason why, the word got around the Jewish community is that he was their man. As I just told you, the deal maker, Abner Mikva, said so and told the Chicago Tribune, and it was getting around to Miami, Florida, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, Austin, New York City, Philadelphia, where all the Jews live in America. He's our man. And of course, he's a liberal Democrat, left-wing Democrat, and Jews have always voted for left-wing Democrats. Obama was their man. But, you know, it was more than that because of my video, Rothschild's Choice, I put out, he was their boy. Their boy toy. You remember those old movies? I've really never seen one, but I saw the guy. Sometime they'd show him on TV. There was a black comedian. His name was Stephen Fetchit. He was sort of an idiot. You know, just a real idiot kind of guy. But they say he was really effective as a comedian. He was sort of, he was funny. Sort of like the old Amos and Andy shows, you know. They first had on TV, and TV was in its infancy. But the politically correct powers that be said, we can't have any shows that depict blacks as stupid or too funny. We got to depict them, you know, as computer programmers and professors and police detectives and presidents. And that's why now on TV, that's all you see. See, black men, they're always somebody that's, you know, highfalutin. The whole police department goes to the one black, you know, guy on the computer. Help us, please, find out who murdered so-and-so. Yeah, they're always the bright guys, the geniuses with the IQs of, you know, 480. Well, I know it's not that high. Even Einstein didn't have anything like that. But that's sort of the way they do the Jews now. The Jews can do no wrong. The murderers, the pedophiles, and all that on TV are always the white Christians. They're the mean people. That's what Hollywood wants us to think. It's what New York and Broadway wants us to think. Stephen Fetchit, though, was sort of an idiot, but he was funny. But that was way back, I don't know, back in the 30s or something, 40s, when he was on TV. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I think Obama's a very smart man, a very brilliant man, very educated man. But as far as the Jews go, no black can be anything but a stupido. Say, do you have proof of that text? Of course I do. It's in their own most holy book, the Talmud. The Talmud says that the black man is less than a human, but a little bit higher than a monkey. The most famous Jewish rabbi of all time, Maimonides, said that. He's quoted in the Talmud, and that's part of the law of the Jews. The belief that the Jew is a god on earth, the Gentile is nothing more than cattle or goyim. But the black man, he's a little bit higher than monkeys, but lesser than human being. Now, listen, don't take me out of context. I don't believe that. And let me tell you why I don't believe it. I look at everybody as an individual. And they're intellectual, very bright black people, and they're dummies. And they're intellectual, the same thing goes for white people or Chinese people, you know, brown, yellow, whatever. There's, you know, geniuses, and then there are lesser folks. And you know, really, we should treat all of them with dignity, respect, whatever you are. Because God's going to give you a new body entirely. You might end up a lot smarter than the next guy in heaven. I don't know. A lot of talents I'd like to have, I don't have. Maybe God will give them to me in heaven. I'd like to be a little smarter myself. There are a lot of things I can't figure out. Maybe God will be generous to me in heaven. But if he isn't, I'll still worship him and love him. It's all right. Give me a little shack in heaven somewhere out in the boonies, and I'll be thrilled. Maybe Jesus will come out and see me every once in a while. But I know he's there. He'll always be there for me. That satisfies me pretty good. Well, all right. Who killed Obama? And, you know, I think that was a threat to Obama. It was a threat. He heard about those T-shirts. What the Zionist elite were really saying is, yeah, you're our little boy. You're our Stephen Fetchit. And if you ever betray us, you're a dead man. You say, oh, surely. Have they ever done such a thing? Well, Richard Nixon, they drove out of office. Forced him to resign. John F. Kennedy, they killed. Read the book Final Judgment by my good friend Michael Collins Piper. Michael Collins Piper will tell you who he's convinced killed JFK. Of course, the CIA was implicated. The FBI, even J. Edgar Hoover, knew it was going to come down. LBJ also was involved. What a greedy dude that guy was. I'm a Texan, but he was bad, bad. But the Jews had a special interest because John F. Kennedy had told the Prime Minister of Israel, you will give up your nuclear bombs. You will. They said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, oh, yes, you will. And since Israel only existed because of American support in the billions of dollars, or they would not even be there. We recognize them diplomatically, as did Stalin and the Kremlin. Those are the two nations, Stalin's Kremlin and the Soviet Union, and the United States is President Harry S. Truman in the White House, that made Israel a nation. What we give, we can take away. We're the only superpower in the world. Israel should do what we tell it to do, but instead we're doing what they tell us to do. We're their sock puppet. They run America. They and the 7.5 million Jews who live in America. Now, if Obama doesn't watch it, because of the things I'm going to tell you in this program that are now happening behind the scenes in Washington, D.C., in the White House, if he has really told the Jews no more, and I think he has, he might end up like Nathan Hale. Do you remember him during the American Revolution, just before he was hanged until dead by the British? They asked him, did he have anything to say? He said, yes. I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. I think that's the best line of the whole American Revolution. I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Nathan Hale. I have to say, I do like Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. But if there was a second one, I think it would be that one. And then there was John F. Kennedy, who also died. Oh, I know he had sexual peccadilloes and he wasn't perfect by a long shot. But in his inaugural address, 1962, I really think he was sincere when he said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I believe he meant that. I believe he did that in his life. John F. Kennedy intended to serve the people of America. And he put notice to the corporations, to the Jewish Zionist, to the lobbyists, the special interest, and to Congress, that was exactly what he was going to do. Serve the people. But the special interests don't want you to serve anybody but them. And he ended up dead. Now, Barack Obama may suffer the same fate if he continues along the same lines. And I've been working to figure out why Obama is doing what he's doing. And, you know, I'm pretty good at figuring out things and analyzing situations. Back when I was at the university studying for my bachelor's degree in political science, I sort of specialized in something called the psychopathology of politics. I think it sort of tickled or interested my political science professors. They thought that was sort of unique. This student picking up a topic, the psychopathology of politics. I read everything I could on the subject. You see, I always believed that men who wanted to be president of the United States and would sacrifice anything to get it, or for that matter, to be dictators or prime ministers or chancellors or whatever, that probably they were psychopaths or sociopaths. Take your pick. Both of them are insane, narcissistic, etc. And Barack Obama is narcissistic. It's everything for him and him alone. I do believe that. He wants to be famous. He wants to have a legacy. He has a big, big ego. Oh, yes, he does. He loved the big crowds. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. He loved it. He loved all the placards, change, having pictures. He's loved being portrayed as the coming of the Messiah, as Julius Caesar. I mean, they've even put him in the clothing of Jesus and the sandals and had him walking on water in some pieces of artwork I've seen. And I believe he loved it. He loved it when he went to Berlin and the gigantic crowd screamed out in pleasure at his words. He loved it when he went over to Cairo, Egypt, and all the Egyptians applauded him. And they thought that he would bring peace to the Middle East. The Egyptians, being mostly Muslims, believed, finally, we have a president who won't give in to the Zionist lobby, who will be fair and impartial. Well, after almost 2 years, they see that's not so, because President Obama has generally done whatever the Jews in his administration tell him to do. And so everywhere, Muslims know they're not getting a square deal. They're getting the royal shaft, so to put, from King Obama. But after all, Barack Obama was from the start a creation and puppet of the Jews. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe, personally, he has begun to make war against his creators. He's had enough. He's not going to take it any longer. Sparks are flying in our nation's capital. The media won't tell you about it, but I'm going to. My sources have told me about it. They're shell-shocked. They can't believe it's going on. They say, you know, President Nixon pretty well kept it undercover. But Nixon was a different kind of guy, and he was a very private person. And, you know, Nixon, he brought into office with him in the White House, all of his top assistants were Gentiles. Chuck Colson, you know, counsel to the president, and then one of the top political advisors, Chuck Colson. There was H.R. Haldeman, who they call one of the Prussians, a German, was his White House chief of staff. There was Bob Ehrlichman, another Jew. They call him the Prussian Guard, him and Haldeman. He was one of the top political advisors of the president. Everywhere you turned, L. Patrick Gray was made head of the FBI after Hoover's death. He was a Gentile. A Jew wanted that job, by the way, Feldstein, and Nixon wasn't going to let him have that. He knew what the Jews were. He's a smart man. He knew they ran the White House under Truman, but he also knew what Truman did. Truman kicked them out, too. Truman, he was their puppet, too, but he rebelled against his creators. We'll talk a little bit about Truman in a minute and what happened to some of these presidents that did that. But right now, let's look at Barack Obama. You see, the Jews are angry, and they're going to smash this runaway black man. This runaway president. You heard a runaway jury? Well, he's the runaway president. He ain't, excuse my Texas vernacular, but he ain't going to take it anymore. Barack is mad as you know what, and he ain't going to take it anymore. Now, I know all you English majors out there, you're going to write me letters. Do not use the word ain't. Okay. I won't do it anymore. I promise. I'm sorry. And by the way, the Jews are mad and angry at his smart aleck black wife, Michelle. She's a smart aleck. You know, Michelle had a black woman who was her personal assistant, secretary. You know, all the first ladies have somebody that's their assistant, their top person, assistant to the first lady. And this person is going to be with them, you know, 18 hours a day or so, and they'd like to have somebody they like and agree with. She brought in a black woman to the White House to help her. But the Jews said, you know, Michelle is a loose cannon. We want to watch her closer. They've been running the White House, so they demanded that she replace her black assistant with a Jewish woman, Susan Scher, S-H-E-R. Boy, that made Michelle very upset. And she's been telling her husband, I understand, Barack. She says, Barack, the Jews in the White House hate us. They hate black people. They're prejudiced. They hate black people more than other white people do. They treat us like dirt. I'm the first lady. They treat me like dirt. What could Barack say? It's true. They were also treating him like dirt. But now the gloves are off. The Jews are angry. Barack has rebelled against them. And now there's going to be some serious payback. Already the battle lines are drawn. Now let's look at some of the things that are going on. First, they announced, all these are little rumblings. It's like an earthquake. You can hear all the rumblings and you feel a little bit of shaking beneath your feet. You know something's going on. The big one may be right ahead. Well, they announced several weeks back that Rahm Emanuel might be leaving the White House. The vicious little enforcer, Rahm the Cruel, leaving the White House? After less than 2 years, could that be possible? Rahm Emanuel, the dual citizen guy, the guy that's an Israeli citizen right there in the White House. And by the way, in his new book called Obama's Wars, Bob Woodward, you know, the Jew who's of Woodward and Bernstein fame, the guy who wrote the book exposing Watergate, Deep Throat, and all that stuff. That was the cause of Nixon leaving office. Well, he's written a new book called Obama's Wars. He said that Rahm Emanuel smacked his mouth and, woo, would just, yum, 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 yum. He'd come into to work every day in the White House. Remember, Rahm Emanuel now had his run of the Oval Office, White House Chief of Staff. Rahm Emanuel would come to the White House and say, well, who did we kill today with our Predator drones over Pakistan and Afghanistan? Who did we hit today? He was so glad to kill some more Muslims. He would actually say, who did we hit today? Who have we killed today? In glee. So happy. Deliriously happy that they had killed some more Muslims over the Middle East with our Predator drone aircraft, pilotless aircraft, bombers. He's a sick old man. But he's leaving. He's announced he's leaving the White House. He was going to leave probably in the latter part of October, but just yesterday it was announced he's leaving the 1st of October. They're getting him out of there. He's a goner. While you're listening to this, he's probably out. He's walking the streets of Chicago. Rahm Emanuel has been fired. Oh, they'll tell you he resigned. He quit. He wanted to be mayor of Chicago. That's why he quit. Baloney. They fired the ballerina boy. Rahm Emanuel. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Got a lot more for you. We'll tell you what's going to happen to David Axelrod and some of the rest of the Jews. Obama is rooting them out. He's getting rid of the Jews. Swindler's List is diminishing in size. What are they going to do to get back at him? This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Tex Mars back again. Do you have my book, Conspiracy World? If you don't, please order the book. You'll love it. 432 pages. It's a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. Getting a lot of nice comments from the book by people who have read it, and they're just amazed at the wealth of information in this book. 117 different topics or subjects it covers. Really an incredible book. You know, you'll want to order it several copies now and give gifts at Christmas time to your friends. If you don't believe in Christmas, I sort of understand that, because there are a lot of pagan, you know, attachments to Christmas. No doubt about that. Maybe I'll do a show on that. I've always been alarmed at Easter, Christmas, and some of the other holidays and the pagan origins and aspects of them. I know many of you written me letters, and I understand that. I do. You know, in Jeremiah and the Bible, you know, they brought trees. Trees were the worship of the ancient god and goddess. Not our god now, but the gods, you know, Baal and all the others, and the trees represented the false gods. And the Bible actually talks about that in, I believe it's the book of Jeremiah, where they would cut a tree and bring it and set it up and put all kind of decorations on it so they could worship the false gods. I know that. But, you know, Christmas is great for one purpose only, to honor Jesus Christ in his coming. Now, I know he didn't come on December 25th, and that was, you know, the day of Mithra and the sun god and all those things. I understand that. I really do. I've always said, you know, well, if you think that's so and it disturbs you, well, do what Paul says in the Bible. You don't have to abide by that holy day. Let some other day be your holy day if you want to. Maybe you can choose November or January, your Christmas. Yeah, I'm serious. The day's not important anyway. You know, I really think 365 days a year we ought to honor our Jesus and thank him for coming. That's my opinion. 365 days a year we should give reverence to the Lord. So in a sense, I don't even believe in any holidays. I just believe in doing what's right with the Lord. But in any case, many of you do. It's an important day to give gifts and all that. But just remember the reason, as they say, for the season, which is Jesus coming. And it doesn't have to be Christmas to give a gift to a friend or a pastor to wake them up. And conspiracy world will do that. Conspiracy world. 432 big, big pages. It's a heavy, heavy book. $25. That includes, it doesn't include shipping and handling, but it does cover the book. It costs $30 in bookstores. $29.95, but we offer it through the ministry for $25. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 postpaid. As for the book Conspiracy World, you won't be disappointed. I promise you. Conspiracy World, $30 postpaid. By the way, if you like a copy of today's program for $8 plus $5 shipping and handling, we'll be glad to send that to you. As for the program entitled Obama Tells Jews No More, $8, $5 more for shipping and handling. And be sure to specify whether you want it in a CD format or audio tape, all right? CD or audio tape. Increasingly, we don't have a lot of people getting it in audio tape anymore, and I guess someday we're going to give you the bad news. We're only going to have it on CD. That's sort of the way things go economically. I know. You say, what for, Tex? Well, we sort of have to do that eventually. But right now, we still have the audio tape edition, and we're more than happy to give you the audio tape or the CD. You know, I don't like things changing much myself. I guess I'm just getting the age. I like things to stay the same. But technology keeps, I don't know, is it improving? Well, I know it's changing. It's like Obama. We got change all right, but I don't think it was an improvement. Conspiracy World. Phone us to get the book toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, or write us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Don't write in Republic of Texas. They won't understand that, postal people. They might someday, but not right now. Just make it Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, you know, we have a wonderful website, powerofprophecy.com. You can, maybe you're listening to the program right now on the internet, streaming audio. Maybe you're listening on the American Voice Network too. I want to welcome all you folks from that network, or WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, shortwave. All of those ways we are heard around the world. And you know, it's your gifts that make it possible. your gifts. This month, we sort of have a special project going on. Not sort of, but we do have one. You know, I have the most wonderful people working with me, and they've been with us many years. They love the truth. They love the Lord. They love our country. They love freedom. They love our Constitution. And you know what? I really, from listening to their phone conversations and then what they say later, I believe they love you too as our customers. Really, you're our friends. And we're having Employee Appreciation Month. Employee Appreciation Month. And I want to ask you to help out. You know, we're not like a big corporation or some big nonprofit church or organization. We're not nonprofit in terms of 501c3, IRS approved status and all. The IRS doesn't like what we talk about. We tell the truth. They don't like that. They're not going to give us nonprofit status, or maybe they will. You know, we had it before and we voluntarily relinquished it. So maybe they give it back to us. But you know, I don't want to, because they made it clear that if we're going to get nonprofit status, so you know, we're clear of taxes and all that stuff, can save a heap of money. But then we have to do whatever they tell us to do. We have to actually follow what is public policy. Public policy. That means abortion, pornography, homosexuality, all those things we cannot really preach against. We can't be talking about subjects like today. Obama, President Obama, they wouldn't like it. If we expose Judaism, they wouldn't like that either. Freemasonry, they would come and get angry at us, the IRS. Well, you know what? We're not going to let them tell us what to do. I'm not going to do it. That's why we need your help. We need your love gifts and offerings for Power of Prophecy. But this month especially, maybe you'd like to help our employees. You know, those wonderful people that answer the phone when you call and you place your order. I think we have the most pleasant people, the people who really care. And you know, they do. They fill out your order, and the very next day, you know, we get it in there and we get it shipped. Within a day or two, it's out. Then it depends on the post office or the UPS or whatever. Everybody else says, we'll wait 3 weeks for delivery. Or No. Some say, well, we'll get it to you within 10 days. No. We'll get to you earlier than that because we care. We want you to have it. It's important. Another thing is, as our employees will tell you, when I write articles for my newsletter, I beg people, send them out all over the world. Well, Tex, you're going to lose money. You know, don't you want to keep your copyright? When these articles go out, I don't want you to go out and sell them now. I'm not going to allow that. But if you want to send them to 1,000 people, you can make copies of them, of our articles. Email our articles out to thousands of people. Go on our website, my radio show, order a CD and make 10 copies to give to friends. Say, well, Tex, you're going to lose money that way. You know, God keeps the accounting books. He keeps the records. I want the message to get out. I'm one of those people that strangely just want message to get out. People, every once in a while call us, they say, now on your videos, Tex, could I put that on my local access station? Or can I make a copy of it? Yes, you can. You can. As long as it's not for commercial purposes, you can put it on your local cable access station. That's why I wanted to get out. Now, it's not fair if you start selling it and all that. You know, that's not right. But as far as the message getting out, yeah, go ahead. Okay? You can take long quotes from our books and do that kind of stuff. Again, don't copy the whole book, but if you want to copy a page or two, well, go ahead and do that. Sure. We're not going to have the boogeyman come and get you, the police. We want our message to get out. We're a Christian ministry, but we do need your help. Now, the employees, these folks have been here a long time. Now, we don't have a retirement program. And for several years, we had medical program because of your generosity. We've even had to discontinue that. So our employees don't have a lot of benefits. I mean, neither me and Wanda nor any of my employees, we don't have any company car. We don't have any company phone. We don't have those things. We don't go out and eat and charge it to the, or dine out or take friends out and charge it to the ministry. We don't do any of those things. No. We're sort of a stripped down, lean and mean version of a ministry. But it's because of that. We have had people work for us 17, 18 years. And imagine, other than Social Security, they're not going to get any retirement. And we cannot pay as much as a big corporation, an IBM. Hey, we can't pay as much as the government pays its people, salaries and benefits. And there's where I'm going to count on you. If the Holy Spirit leads you, would you help us? This month, we have Employees Appreciation Month during the month of October. If you can give And when you do, designate it for the employees. Just say, this is for the staff, for the employees. Now, that doesn't include Wanda and I. We're going to just cut ourselves from that. Okay? You know, I want it to go to my employees. We have five wonderful, lovely employees here that work with one another. There's seven of us in all. If you believe they're helpful to you, if you believe that we're doing a work for the Lord and for our country, I would like for you to give a love gift or a donation over and above now what you would give to Power of Prophecy in the ministry, because we need your help in the ministry too. But if you want it just to go to the employees, we will designate it for the employees. But you need to tell us, this is for the employees, whether it's $1, $5, $100, or $1,000. It doesn't, you know, naturally it matters, but give what you can. And say, text, this is for the employees. You can go online, and there's a little block there online. There's a article called Employees Appreciation Month. Read that article, and there's a little bitty click on there, and you can click on and make a donation there, too, to the ministry. For the employees. There's also a place where you can make just a donation or love gift, give to the general fund of the ministry, because we need to keep paying our bills, our radio time, our printing cost, salaries and all that. But to help the employees, just this one month, I'm not going to do this every month. It's the first time in 25 years that I've ever done it. I've never asked you to help our employees. I've never asked for you to show your appreciation to employees. This is the only time I've ever done it. But I think it's only fair that we do that for the employees. So if you care, if you love them as much as they love you, if you appreciate what they've done for you and for me, really, please give to the Employees Appreciation Fund. And that will go direct to them. Not 1 cent will go to Tex and Wanda Morris. It'll go right to the employees. We're keeping track of every dollar, every penny that comes in. We're keeping a little separate log so we'll know how much is for the employees. And they will get that. Okay, last year, we didn't even give a bonus to the employees, like at Christmas or whatever. You know, no bonuses, no nothing. And so, you know, we need your help, and I think this is only right. If you can, if you're living on Social Security or something yourself, of course not. Don't do that then. Don't, you know, you got to pay your pharmaceutical bills and all those things. You got to eat. You got to have shelter. No, don't do that. But if you have a little extra and you can help, do so. Okay. Now let's return to our regular program. This is Power of Prophecy. I am Tex Morris. By the way, on that Employee Appreciation Month project, you can phone us toll free 1-800-234-9673 and just say, I'd like to give to the employees. I'd like to give the staff. I suspect you're going to call. You can't see over the phone, but there's going to be a smile on the face of whoever you're talking to when you do that. Again, we're going to love you anyway, even if you don't give. We're going to love you anyway, but we do need your help. Okay. All right. Enough. I'm not going to beg anymore. I begged enough. Okay. All right. I don't mind begging every once in a while. We have some great folks here. I love them. They're fantastic. And you know, I call up Jerry. I call up Sandra from home sometime and I say, uh-oh, we got a problem. We got to fix this or that. We got to do this. We're behind on our orders getting out. They volunteer to come in. And many times they, you know, I don't even know about it. You know, a week later, I'll say, well, how did that get done? I worked on it at home. Really? They didn't put it in as overtime, nothing. They just do it. Who can beat that? Maybe I'm a good boss. Hey, Jerry, what do you think? Yeah, let me give myself, hey, I'm giving you guys atta boys. What? Tex does a pretty good, he's a good boss, isn't he? Oh, yeah, Jerry. When I leave, he probably says the truth. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Okay. But let's talk some more about Barack Obama, because I want to get onto this. We haven't got much more time. Look, Obama, as he really told the Jews no more, I got this reported. I think it's pretty reliable that Obama told Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu when he last visited the White House, that was only a couple months back, that the Israelis must play fair with the oppressed Palestinians. They must come to peace terms in the Middle East, and they've got to quit stealing more and more land and building those settlements on it. Yes, he wants Israel to be a safe and secure nation. But Obama says, I also want the Palestinians to have a place to live. I want them to have freedom. I want them to have their own government. I want, you know, two states. I want the Palestinians and the Jews. And you're going to have to agree to that. Well, the Jews do not want the Palestinians to have their own nations. They want to take all the land, to be honest with you, and they keep taking chunks of it till finally Well, the Palestinians are just their servile nobodies and who are just nothing but a bunch of plantation slaves. And Obama said, it's enough. You've got to come to peace terms. Well, Netanyahu told all the Rothschilds and all the others that Obama's not going to kiss up to us anymore. We're going to have to do something about this. And they are angry. I understand that another thing happened. Israel has wanted us for a long time to go in and bomb and destroy Iran. Not just its nuclear capability, it doesn't have any, but it wants America to destroy the entire military structure of Iran and kill off hundreds of thousands of Iranians. And Obama says no. Obama told Netanyahu that the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency have assured him that Iran has no nuclear bombs and is not developing any. And Israel says, well, we know that's true too, but we still want you to do it. We want war. And Obama, I understand, told Netanyahu, no. Uh-oh. Jews don't like being told no. Then Obama made a campaign promise. Two promises, in fact. First, he said, we will be out of Afghanistan by the end of 2011. The Jews said, no, you won't. We'll be there forever. Ha, ha, ha. In fact, we're going to expand the war on into Pakistan, to Yemen. We're going to go into Syria and especially Iran. You're not going to be leaving in 2011. Obama has instructed General Petraeus to wrap up the war. He's saying, tell me why we can't leave at the end of 2011. I made a campaign promise. Now, Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod, political advisors in the White House, Rahm also being White House Chief of Staff, went storming, I understand, into the Oval Office. And they said, Barack, did you really tell Netanyahu to come to peace terms? We don't want that. And did you, Barack, tell General Petraeus you wanted him to wrap up the war by the end of 2011? That's not our agenda. Obama said, that's exactly what I've done. I'm the president. And they told Obama, you're only president because we made you one. We gave you all the money. We gave you all the media help. We made you a star. I understand they threatened him. They screamed. But Obama stood his ground, came back with a shocking proposal. He said, Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, I want to thank you for your past support. Now it's time for us to go our separate ways. I'll give you until November 1st to pack your bags. He fired Emanuel and Axelrod. Whoa, whoa. Now already he had fired his budget director, the Jew, Peter Artsag. He was fired. He's gone. And then after he fired Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod, reliable sources told me he called in Larry Summers, the Jew who's chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, the Jew who's the one who helped the law get changed with Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and all the others, and made sure that the America went into a grand recession, the whole world did, and trillions of dollars went to the bankers. And Larry Summers, this Jewish monster, the banker boy, was supervising the whole thing. Obama had made him chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, and Obama fired him too. Oh my, let's count them up. Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Peter Artsag, he's out. Rahm Emanuel, White House Chief of Staff, he's out. David Axelrod, Chief Political Advisor, the campaign chief for Obama in 2008. He's out. Larry Summers, Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. He's out. These are Jewish dons, you know, like dons in the mafia, the big boys. Now, I understand also that the Chicago billionaires that made Obama what he is, the Crowns, the Pritzkers, the Mikvahs, the Solos, and all the others, the phone began to melt in the White House. They were calling Obama, you can't do this. You can't do this. But remember Obama's campaign slogan, yes, we can. Now, Obama has two people in the White House that are black. Not many that he trusts. But he was clever about one thing. There are two people that he trusts, and a third that, well, he may not trust as much, but he's a black man. Blacks stick together. And Jews stick together. He has a personal assistant just down the hall from him who's black. So Obama's leaning on him now instead of Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod, who have been fired anyway. They're on their way out. And that's not going to be told in the press that they got fired. It's because, yeah, they went on to other things. And Axelrod will probably end up the campaign manager next time for Obama. He's leaving early because, you know, he's looking 2 years ahead. Oh, yeah. And Art Zag had other things he had to do. And Summers, yeah, he'd probably get another university position or sure. Mm-hmm. They're out. This black guy, though, is still there, the assistant. There's a woman named Valerie Jarrett, a black woman who's also one of the political advisors, and she's been promoted. Now, she's top dog, in fact. She's the top advisor, as I understand it. When Obama wants to work something through, he calls Valerie, this black woman. He doesn't call it Jews anymore. They're out. I wonder what's going to happen to the White House chef. He was Sam Cass, a kosher Jew. And Obama promoted him and made him the food nanny for America, food czar. He'd probably be, you know, rolling down a wiener hot dog on the mustard right out the front door of the White House. I don't know. Is a hot dog kosher? I don't know. But he'll be rolling one out, and he'll be going right out of it, right down the track there. Well, in any case, the one time puppet handlers are flabbergasted, and they want to put the screws in Obama now, and they are angry. I think Timothy Geithner is going to be next, the Treasury Secretary. He's the guy that's been their little boy to help the red Chinese communist government that's really run by the Jews secretly. By the way, Obama's not even pleasing the homosexuals. They're booing him when he goes out to speak now. They want more money for AIDS, which really they don't really spend on AIDS research. They just give it to all of the homosexuals for social programs. They call it AIDS money. But it's like our party money, these Jewish homosexuals. And then the homosexuals wanted the don't ask, don't tell policy to be kicked out. They want transgenders and weirdos and the most devious, insidious homosexuals to be allowed into the military service. And not be kicked out when it's found out that they're flaming homo gays. And remember Obama said, I'll change the don't ask, don't tell policy. Well, guess what? He's been president 2 years and he hadn't changed it. They're mad at him. And he had an opportunity to show the queers that he was still their man, because it was time just recently for a new commandant of the Marine Corps. Commandant of the Marine Corps. Everybody thought that Obama would appoint to that position, the generals in charge of the whole Marine Corps, a person who was pro-gay. Guess what? He chose a general as commandant of the Marine Corps who is not for the homosexual agenda, who doesn't want homosexuals in there. And the general pointedly told Obama during his interview, my Marines don't want homosexuals to live with them in the dormitories and the barracks. And guess what? Obama appointed him anyway. Boy, the homos are furious. That's pretty bold. Meanwhile, Obama called in his attorney general. Ah, there's the third black that he needed. And that's the most important one. He's attorney general of the United States. And he's a black man. Now, it may be that the Jews go to Harold Holder and say, if you'll go our way against your president, we'll promote you. He might end up, you know, governor of Massachusetts or something like that. I don't know. But as it stands right now, he has Obama to thank for being made attorney general. And Eric Holder, a black man, one of the very few blacks to hold a high position in the White House with any real authority, particularly, Obama told Holder, go to the federal appeals court and try to void a lower court's nullification of the don't ask, don't tell policy. Wow. Eric Holder is going against the homosexuals in the federal courts to protect the military from having a bunch of crazy transgenders and homos in uniform. Whoa. The satanic Jews, many of them being homosexuals themselves, these pedophile rabbis and all, they're furious at Obama. Now, here's another thing. I understand that Obama made a campaign promise. He told the middle class and the workers, if you make less than $250,000, we're not going to raise your taxes. Well, the Bush tax cuts at the end of December, I understand, are dying naturally. Now, there's opportunity for Obama to get Congress to reapprove those former tax cuts. If not, the taxes will actually go up for all Americans, the tax rates. But Obama made a promise to those who made less than $250. Now, reliable sources tell me that Larry Summers and Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel and the others, Artsag, went to Obama and said, you'll have to break your campaign promise. We're not going to give the working people of America tax breaks. And Obama said, yes, we can. There you go. Obama said, I might even change my mind and approve all of the Bush taxes. I might even give the richer people, because this economy needs jobs, and we can't have jobs if we're taxing people. And they like to have an apoplectic fit, understand? Because the bankers want all the bucks, and they want pennies for the people. And they want more and more taxes. They want to break the back of America through taxation. And it looked like Obama's not going to go along with it. They said, but don't you understand, Barack? We got Obamacare, and we got all these other programs. We're going to have this gigantic deficit. And Obama said, well, I'm going to have to work with my black assistants to figure out what to do about that. But as for you Jews, hit the road, Jack. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I understand that Obama's taking on the health care people, the insurance companies. He had a letter sent to him saying, you're charging too much for your health care insurance. We're not going to allow it. Whoa. Friends, the Zionists are going to retaliate. They already are. Bill O'Reilly put out, of the Zionists' own Fox News TV channel, put out a smear book, Pinheads and Patriots. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. Has a picture of Obama on the cover as a pinhead. Liberal Democrats, neocon Republicans, and the media, urged on by their Jewish bosses, are on the attack against Obama. That's why Woodward's book came out. A Zionist Jew. New York Times, Washington Post man, Bob Woodward, and he's attacking Obama in this book. Obama is tired of being their nigger. I wish I had more to tell you. He's angry because he can't be the hero of the black people. The blacks are unhappy with Obama. The blacks are unhappy. They know he's run by the Jews. Pastor Jeremiah Wright told them the Jews own Obama. Louis Farrakhan of the Black Muslim says the Jews own Obama. The blacks know it now. And you know what? Obama's heartbroken. He thought he would be another Martin Luther King. He thought he would be a savior for all Americans. But the Jews have held him under tight grip. And now he's trying to break free. Now what's going to happen? Are they going to kill him? Are they going to assassinate him? Maybe. Is he going to break under the pressure? He wants to be a left-wing populist president. A left-winger he is. He's not going to change from that. But he might end up like John F. Kennedy. He wanted to help the poor. He wanted to help the downtrodden. And he ended up dead. I want you to pray for Barack Obama. These things being so, pray that he won't break under the pressure. Pray that he won't give in, because they're going to put horrible pressure on him. I'm not saying now this is going to remain. He may backtrack and just go right on in with his Zionist agenda again. In coming weeks, we're going to see, but let's pray for Barack Obama. Let's pray for his protection. You say, why should I pray for that man, that left-wing commie? Hey, friends, pray that he not be a left-wing commie anymore. Pray that he become a true president of the people, a constitutionalist even. You say, that's impossible? God doesn't answer prayers like that? Oh, do you not have faith in God? I'm not saying it's going to happen. Let God's will be done. But we can pray that here on earth, righteousness prevail. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've given you the stunning disclosure today that Obama is now warring with the Jews. I don't know if it'll last. I don't know. Maybe days or weeks or months. Or maybe forever. But that's what the way the world is today. This is Tex Mars. My great prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.